Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to Infertile AF, the podcast. This is episode 364 called Ruby Smoot. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Fertile was created by Dr. Jen, a PhD biologist who lived infertility herself. After hitting roadblocks and being handed a loan application instead of answers, she built what she wished existed, the only sterile, FDA-cleared, at-home insemination kit. Fertile places sperm right at the cervical opening, 1 inch lower than an IUI, with no meds, no prescriptions, and no appointments. The kit includes 3 sterile attempts to time with your cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, US made, IVF grade, and HSA, FSA eligible, and it ships discreetly. If you're exhausted, budget stretched, or just want to try something that feels private and empowering, this could be your why not moment. For LGBTQIA+ families, solo parents by choice, or anybody navigating unexplained infertility. So here's what to do. Go to fertile.com today, that's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com, and use code INFERTILEAF for $10 off. That's Fertile, pronounced fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's P-H-E-R-D-A-L.com with code INFERTILEAF. Thanks, Fertile. So today's guest is named Ruby Smoot, and you guys might know her from TikTok. She is ruby.du on TikTok and has a really big following there. She's a digital creator. She is an IVF mom, a twin mom as well, and she's going to share all of her infertility details and ups and downs with us today. Ruby has been through so much, like so many of you, and she is a very open book. And speaking of books, don't forget to check out the Work of Art book series that I created. It's available on my website at infertileafgroup.com. There's Work of Art, Beautiful Bird, and the Board Book, You Are a Work of Art. If you're interested in ordering, if you're a doctor or a clinic and you want to get a bulk order and give them to your patients as graduation gifts, I've been having a lot of awesome doctors do that. So just reach out to me at Instagram, which is Infertile AF Stories, and we can work that out. But also just go there and check out what I've created. The fourth book also will be coming later this year, so I'm super excited to tell you more about that soon. I wanted to thank Ruby again for sharing her story. Go follow her, guys, again on TikTok at ruby.du, and she's also on Instagram. So without further ado, this is Ruby's infertility story. How are you? It's so good to meet you.
It's great to meet you.
Thank you very much for doing this. I always like to start by asking my guests, have you always wanted to have kids?
I feel like yes, for the most part. I feel like maybe in high school and like recently out of high school, I was like, oh no, I'm not going to have kids. But I feel like that was more of a, I'm going to be different kind of a thing than a real thing. I feel like I always knew I wanted kids. And I feel like for a long time, I was like, maybe just one or two. And where I'm at, I feel like everybody has kids very, very young. And I know that I wanted just a little bit more time. It's not like I waited till I was way older, but compared to my friends, I feel like I was 100.
Right. So you are in Utah, right? So tell me about that. Have you lived there your whole life?
I've been here since I was 11. So all of my formative years have been here. And so, yeah, I feel like it's just the culture here to have a lot of kids very young. So okay. I feel like
how young? When do people usually start?
I have friends that started trying, I'm not kidding, probably at 20 years old, who all were planning on being done having kids by late 20s or 30 at the latest.
And what happened with you? I know we're fast forwarding a whole bunch, but tell me about your story, when you started to try, all that stuff.
I was definitely the last of my friends to have kids. And I think the last to even start trying to have kids. I think we started trying, I want to say around 2019. Yeah, because 2020 is when everything went bad. We'd been married for 4 or 5 years at the time.
Did you get married young?
Yeah, I got married at 21 and my husband was 24. I was just it's going to be easy breezy. I'm healthy. I've always been healthy. I'm active. I did have an IUD before, but once I got that removed, I feel like everything just went pretty smoothly. So mm-hmm. I was there's no reason to not be able to conceive right away. And all my friends got pregnant right away. So why wouldn't I? I'm mid-20s. That's young. I feel like the first few months I took it pretty easy of not tracking anything, just kind of keeping it very light. And then I started doing my research. I'm a planner. So I was this is how long a cycle should be. And this is about when you should ovulate. And so this is how you should try to conceive. And so probably between 3 and 6 months in, I started using ovulation kits, just the easy at home ovulation tests, and nothing was happening. It was so weird just because all of my friends were it took me so long. I probably didn't get pregnant till month 4 or 5. And I was
Right.
Okay.
Right. How did that make you feel?
I was that is long. I don't when my friends were getting pregnant, I wasn't really talking to them about the process of it. They were just having babies. And so I feel like around month 6, I was this is just a little bit longer, but that's not weird. That's probably when I started taking it more seriously I really need to make sure that I'm testing and that I'm scheduling intercourse, which is just,
it's hot. So
it's, oh yeah. Nothing is more romantic than
right.
Timed sex. Scheduled. Yeah. Scheduled yes. sex. It's just nothing sex anymore. Agreed. We're also living in our in-laws house at the time too. So I was this is the least sexy thing I've ever done is timed intercourse in my in-laws house.
Yeah. You have to be quiet.
Yeah. It was just so weird.
Yeah.
But it was about a year in that I was this is where I'm starting to feel a little bit more nervous, probably around 10 or 11 months. And I was I'm healthy. Everything's coming back normal. Why am I not getting pregnant? So I got in with my OB. First thing we did was have my husband's semen analysis done and all of that came back great. So I was okay, so maybe something is going on with me. We did all the blood work. We went in for monitoring to just make sure that I was ovulating and everything was great.
Okay.
So just unexplained infertility, the fun classic. Oh,
I know. It's such a bummer to get that diagnosis. And, some people argue it's not even a diagnosis. It's keep mm-hmm. digging, keep digging. There's something mm-hmm. going on. But it's almost like you want there to be an issue so that you can address the issue and do something about it, right?
It's it's weird when it's hey, this is supposed to be working, but it's not.
And then they're we don't know.
What can you do? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they give you any, a plan or anything like that? Or was it still, you're young? But it had been a year.
Yeah, it had been a year. So my doctor gave me Clomid, which is just the worst thing in the world. I hated it. And so I started Clomid in July or August of 2020. And I remember brushing my teeth and gagging and being that was weird. I never get sick, but maybe this is just the Clomid, whatever. We got home from camping and I just casually took a pregnancy test, hopped in the shower, got out. And I was it's never been positive before. So I get out and see two lines and I was whoa, whoa, whoa.
Wow.
This is not real. just pure denial. And I was okay, I'm not going to tell my husband yet. I'm going to go take like 20 more tests real quick, make sure it's real.
Only 20.
Yeah. Just like a quick, just a bunch of money. I ran to Target like immediately after. And he's like, where are you going? I was like, I just need to run errands. And he's like, do you want me to come? And I was like, no, stay home. And he's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. So I go and I took 3 tests in the Target bathroom and they came back positive. And I was like, okay, I'm going to go to like, I'll go to Michael's and I'll get like this cute. He proposed to me with this photo album that looked like the photo album from Up. And it was like all these pictures from when we were dating. And at the end, he said, I'd love to continue this adventure with you. Will you marry me? And I said, yes. And so I added a page to it that said, here comes the next adventure, baby coming 2021. Yeah, 2021. And so I like put it together, got home, and I was like, we should look through our album. We haven't looked through it in a little bit. And that's how I told him that I was pregnant. And
it was like, oh my God, what was his reaction?
Oh, he was so cute. He like picked me up and spun me around, and he loves to like just slow dance with me. So we just like danced in the living room with, there was no music. It just like, aww. It was just like a special tender moment between the two of us. And I loved that it was like, cause nobody knew we were trying yet.
Okay.
Either. So it was just like this special time between the two of us. And I was like, this is perfect. Like if I'm getting pregnant in August, then we'll have a baby like late spring or early summer. Like, it's just like perfect timing. Everything is great. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's first pregnancy and you're like, yeah, it was a rough road to get here. But you know what? The Clomid worked. Hallelujah. Then fast forward a month and it was my birthday weekend. And I don't know what it was. I was getting ready and I was like, I feel like something bad's going to happen today. And I remember what I was wearing, like getting dressed and going about my day. I had a doctor's appointment, like a dental appointment, come home. And I was like, it's going to happen. I just like felt it. And so I sit down and just blood. So much blood.
Oh my God. How traumatic.
And I'm sure you've heard stories like this where you can just like sense it.
Yeah.
You can just feel something is off.
Nobody knows your body better than you, right?
It's so and it you was had so
like
weird.
This gut feeling or like a physical feeling too, probably.
Yeah, like something is about to happen. Mm. And I just remember walking out of the bathroom and my husband was in the kitchen and he like looked at me and I think he could tell, like I wasn't even crying yet, but I just like looked at him and he looked at me and it was like, we both knew. And
heart
so it's 2020.
Sinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2020. So like, you can't just like go into a doctor. It's also like only come in if it's absolutely necessary.
Right.
So I called my OBGYN and he was like, and we lived about an hour away from him at this point, but I loved him. So I was like, I'm willing to come up whenever. And they were like, if you can leave your house right now, we have another doctor who can get you in.
Mm-hmm.
So we like fly up to Salt Lake and I remember going in and just like sitting there, surrounded by the pregnant women.
Yes.
And you're just like, you know what? That's going to be me. This is just like a weird bleed. But I mean, you're telling yourself that, but you know, it's not.
Had you cried at this point or like lost it?
Oh yeah. I was like, I don't think I really cried until I called my OB and I was like,
yeah,
hey, I know we just scheduled a few weeks ago, but I think I need to come in. And the whole car ride up, I was just like teary and weepy.
Yeah.
And then the MA who brought me back had the cutest bump. And I was like, this is so horrible.
It's horrible. It's so hard.
And,
yeah.
And you can tell she's trying to be so sensitive. She was so sweet. And I feel like I could sense guilt coming off of her where I was like, it's not your fault that I'm going through this and you're just at work having your day.
Right. Aww.
But you could tell that she was like, don't touch my belly. Don't acknowledge that. We're just going to pretend this isn't a thing.
And right. It's so interesting though, as women you're like, your instinct was to console her. Right. And make her
that
feel comfortable.
Funny. Like, I didn't think about that.
Yeah. You know, and I feel like we do that sometimes.
So she brings me back and we're going through like how far along I am doing all the intake stuff. And the doctor comes out and he was like, I'm so sorry. We'll do some blood work. We probably won't have any results back until it was Friday. So we probably won't have results back until Monday. And I was like, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. Like, I hate this. I had an appointment to get my lashes done. And I was like, no, I can't get my lashes done because I'm going to be crying. And it's my birthday and we're supposed to be celebrating all weekend. And now I don't want to do anything.
Right.
And so he was like, I want to get you in for an ultrasound on Monday as well. And so we go about my birthday and my husband.
Wait, sorry to interrupt, but just to be clear, did they say that the baby was still alive or like what was happening?
No, he was like, I can't tell you for certain right now.
We don't know. Yeah. Okay.
So he was like, I just want you to wait through the weekend. We'll do another blood draw to check your HCG and then we'll do an ultrasound then as well.
Okay.
So,
oh God, that's like the worst place to be and not knowing.
The waiting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, when it's that early, you're like, is it a subchorionic hemorrhage? Is it?
Right.
Is it a miscarriage? Like, what is it?
Right.
So we go about the weekend and my husband texted his whole family and was like, just so you all know, Ruby and I have been trying. We finally got pregnant, but she miscarried today. So just be mindful when you text her happy birthday tomorrow. Just like be very tender. So he had planned a birthday lunch for me and all of my high school friends. So he texted them and was like, don't bring up babies. Don't bring up trying to get pregnant. Like, just avoid the topic.
Oh, what a sweet husband to know to do that.
He was very sweet.
Yeah.
And the friend that he'd coordinated my birthday with, she had also miscarried on her birthday the year prior.
Oh my gosh.
She and I have talked about it since. And we're like, it's a bad reminder, but also it's like, it's nice to remember that day to kind of remember. But she was so sweet during all of it where she was like, I know what it's like, totally ruins your birthday, but it was nice to have somebody who,
right,
just
to connect
that,
with somebody.
Having that date. Mm-hmm. So he had set that birthday party up for me, and then he had a surprise party planned for me that night. This had all been planned well in advance, and so he's like, if you want, we can just hang out at home tonight. And I was like, no, I want to leave. I don't want to sit here and just think, just get me out of the house. And so having a surprise party was perfect. And I feel like exactly what I needed, especially because that long wait through the weekend, it feels like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then Monday rolls around and I just remember waking up that morning being like, it's going to be a bad day. So we get to the hospital, do the ultrasound, and it's confirmed like there's nothing viable. Oh. And the whole appointment, I'm just like the little tears, like, I don't want to make eye contact or I'm going to cry or it was just bad. Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting so emotional over this.
No, I was just going to say, I was just going to say that the fact that you're getting choked up, even recalling this, you know, it's the body holds the score, right? Like it's the trauma is still there.
Yeah. I feel like I didn't expect to be so emotional over it with it being so long ago. But yeah, I remember my husband walked me back to the car. And that's when I like really lost it. Mm. Like I'd been crying, but at that point in the car, I just remember, I was like, I feel like I can't even open my eyes because I was just like crying so hard. It was such a bad day.
Oh.
And then his sister ended up calling me because she had had miscarriages before. And she's the only one in the family who has. And well-meaning people, you've talked about on your podcast of, well, now, you know, you can get pregnant or... You know,
right.
What? Like,
at least, you know,
yeah,
like,
at least you get pregnant and you're extra fertile after a miscarriage. So it'll happen next month. Mm-hmm. Just things like that. Or at least your body's going to feel back to normal again.
Mm-hmm. Or the worst is at least you weren't too far
yes,
along.
That one. At least it happened early. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Mm-mm. So glad.
F that.
I'm so happy now.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nope.
Let me just suck these tears back in.
Exactly. Yeah. A loss is a loss is a loss.
A loss is a loss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then my husband was like, do you want to take a break? Do you want to just keep trying? I was like, let's just like, this Clomid's already jacked my skin. Let's just keep going. I just don't even want to think about it. So once everything was all clear and my doctor said I could try again, we started back up on Clomid again and just nothing. And we were doing monitored cycles during this Clomid. So I was going in for testing and ultrasounds and everything, making sure that I was ovulating. Mm-hmm. And month after month, I still wasn't getting pregnant. So I can't remember how many more cycles I did. At this point, I was like, I don't even care. I got in such a rotten mood that I was like, if I get pregnant, great. But if I don't, I remember just being so mad at this point where I was like, my skin is getting it sounds so shallow, but I was like, my skin is getting messed up for nothing.
Right.
I did.
No, I think a lot of women can relate to that. Yeah. A lot of women can relate to that.
I did 2 rounds of Accutane and now it's all out the window.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, every month going to Walgreens to pick up the prescription and being like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. My skin is horrible. I'm in such a bad mood all the time. Like, my husband would like be like, hey, Rue. And I'd be like, don't talk to me. Like,
yeah,
I was just so cranky all the time on Clomid.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do anything. And I'd just be mad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not sustainable. Like, our marriage cannot handle me being on Clomid long term.
Uh-huh.
It's just bad.
So yeah. So how long were you on Clomid?
I want to say about 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. That's a long time.
And it was so, I just remember it just like wrecked my brain. And I was just angry all the time. Like, I don't think I cried once about it not, about not getting pregnant again. I was just angry. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't get pregnant. I'd be like, this is stupid. What's even the point? Like, just mad. So we made an appointment with the fertility specialist over here. And he was like, I'm so sorry that you've been going through this. There's not a whole lot we can do with it being unexplained infertility. Like, even having your monitored cycles, your doctor sent me all of your records. Like, everything looks like you should be getting pregnant. And so he said we could do some IUI or just do IVF. And my husband's work is awesome. They were offering at the time like a bucket of fertility coverage. So it didn't have to be like you do 3 IUIs and then IVF. It was just a lump sum and you use it how you want.
That's great.
It was so wonderful. I mean, and I was grateful to have fertility coverage at all, but for them to be like, here's the money.
Right.
Use it how you want. Like, mm-hmm. So we were like, we'll just go straightforward with IVF. We won't even go with IUI because we've done these monitored cycles and nothing's happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we started the IVF process and my skin was still jacked. Mm-hmm. All those hormones are horrible. Mm-hmm. I have a blood clotting disorder. So I, on top of like all of the like retrieval drugs, I was doing Lovenox. So then all the bruising on top of it. And I had one friend who had done IVF and she was like, it's really rough. And I was like, nah, it's not. Like, mm-hmm. I'm tough. I can handle it.
Yeah.
And it sucked.
Yes.
That retrieval process, I did not realize how brutal. And it's only like 2 weeks of the medications, right? It was like the bloating and just like the physical pain of it. There was a TikTok audio that was trending at the time that was like, her eyes were pulled out, her tongue was cut off, her hair was cut off. And I was like, I remember sitting in the car being like, my bones hurt, my eyes hurt, my skin hurts. Like,
right.
It just hurt.
It me.
Yeah. I was like, I'm just so like, my bones were aching, my skin felt so tender, and then just like bloating and cramping. And just, I was like, none of my pants fit.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You know how February can feel very highlight reel when it comes to love and family? Engagements, roses, date nights, cute family photos, everyone looking like they've totally figured it out. And meanwhile, most of us are like, wait, what am I doing? Whether you're in a relationship, single, building your family, in the wait, or just focusing on yourself, the truth is nobody really has it all together. We're all still figuring it out. I know I definitely am still learning and struggling when it comes to some big life issues. You guys know I'm a big fan of therapy, and it can be such a helpful way to take the pressure off. It gives you space to sort through what you actually want, what feels heavy, and what might be getting in the way of feeling really good. Sometimes a little outside support makes a huge difference. BetterHelp makes getting started really simple. They match you with a licensed therapist based on your needs and preferences, and if it's not the right fit, you can switch anytime. They've got more than 30,000 therapists and millions of people have used this platform with super high satisfaction ratings, so you're in good hands. If you're struggling and you need someone to talk to, you are not alone. Sign up now and get 10% off at betterhelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Again, that's 10% off at betterhelp.com. BETTERHELP.com. Thanks, BetterHelp.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Mm-hmm. Everything is, I'm just so swollen.
Yeah.
And then retrieval went well. I remember we got a lot of eggs. I want to say we got like 30 something eggs.
Okay. And yeah, that's
20,
a lot.
I want to say 28 were mature, 26 fertilized. And then after that, it's like, I think we got like 10 to 12 that made it to day 5. So mm-hmm. really, really good numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I was like 12 embryos. This is a dream.
Right.
And so I was really grateful. We did our transfer and I was like, let's just do a double because it's not going to cost any different. And we've already used so much of our money on this mm-hmm. retrieval. Mm-hmm. I want to make this transfer work. Like, obviously it's not a guarantee, but got home from the clinic, tested right away because, you know, what if?
Right.
What if it happened to implant in 20 minutes?
Right. And
obviously, nothing happened. But 3 days post-transfer, that night, I was like getting ready for a shower, took a test, and I was like, there's a line. There's two lines.
Mm-hmm.
And just over the moon. And first ultrasound, the tech goes, there's two babies. And oh, I just like started crying on the table. And it was just like such a magical day.
Yeah.
Like that first transfer, I remember just being on cloud 9 and being like, I could be pregnant, and like the McDonald's fries and like doing
right.
little things. Yeah,
totally.
That's when, I don't know if it was like the first miscarriage or if it was just my hormones. My mental health during pregnancy that's the worst that I've ever been.
Wow. Okay. Tell me more about that. What was it? What were you going through? What did it feel like?
So have you heard of hyperemesis?
Yes.
So it's just like severe sickness. So
mm-hmm.
it was like a combination of having hyperemesis and like that alone is horrible for your mental health. But then it was like everything relating to getting pregnant. So the combination of like, I developed like a sense of OCD where I was like, if I say anything about this pregnancy that's negative, my babies will die.
This episode is brought to you by Barry. When I first started navigating my infertility and IVF journey, I honestly thought I could keep everything straight in my head. Meds, appointments, hormones, all of it. Very quickly, I realized that was not the case. There are a ton of fertility apps out there, but Barry is the only one built specifically for people who are considering or actively going through fertility treatments like IVF, IUI, egg freezing, embryo transfers, and more. Barry was created by a friend of the show, Irene Alvarado, after she went through fertility treatment herself and saw just how confusing and overwhelming the process can be. With Barry, you can track your medications, appointments, hormones, and symptoms all in one place. They also have step-by-step treatment guides and injection tutorial videos that make everything feel way more manageable and honestly a lot less stressful. The app is packed with support. Dozens of injection tutorials, over 100 articles, 200 FAQs, and if you still have questions, the Barry team is literally a tap away through an in-app chat. Barry has a free version, but you can also try their premium version free for 7 days. After that, it's $12.99 a month or $99 for the year. But here's the best part, guys. Infertile AF listeners get 30% off an annual membership with the code Infertile AF when you sign up at berryfertility.com or in the Berry Fertility app. Again, that's code Infertile AF at berryfertility.com, berryfertility.com, or in the Berry app. Thanks, Berry.
I'm going to sound like totally crazy.
No.
And even during pregnancy, I knew that my thinking wasn't rational, but I was like, if I wear certain clothes, mm-hmm. my babies are going to die. If I go to an appointment without these certain objects, my babies are going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all of this. I'm sorry. I'm getting so emotional today.
No, stop apologizing though. Honestly, it's you don't worry. That's what this space is for. It's, you know, I want you to get it out and hopefully this is therapeutic and you're being real and people listening can relate to this. It is traumatic. And, you know, like with the developing the OCD, first of all, I want to hear more about it, but thank you for going into this and sharing it because somebody listening is like, thank you. I'm not the only one, you know, like sharing these stories really does help other people get through whatever they're going through. So I just continue on.
And well, I appreciate you.
I cry like every episode. So, you know, if you've heard this show, you know.
I knew that the way I was thinking was not rational. Like, I knew that if I didn't bring this charm to this appointment, it wasn't going to kill my babies. But in my head, I was like, if I don't do it, they will die.
Yeah.
And so I held this like checklist in my head constantly of, do these things or your babies are going to die and it's going to be your fault. And it's something I'd never dealt with before. And then the HG, I think, just amplified it of like, okay, you're depressed, but don't say anything or your babies are going to die. And then holding that in obviously just made it worse. So it was just that level of sickness it's like having a horrible flu that just doesn't go away.
Right. So you're going through it not only physically with the, you know, getting nauseated and feeling awful, but these like crazy hormonal shifts too.
Yeah.
And these like intrusive thoughts and scary thoughts, right? Like,
yeah,
that sounds terrible.
And maybe this is going to get too dark for the episode. So if it needs to be removed, I understand. But I just remember like waking up in the morning being like, I can't believe I'm alive. And just crying because I was alive.
Aww.
And then just feeling so guilty that I felt that way, being like, oh my gosh, anybody would have killed to be in this position. And like, I'm so lucky to be pregnant. Why do I want to not be alive anymore? And just
I'm
like,
so sorry. Yeah.
Laying in bed and thinking, like, planning how I could end all this. And it's just something that I'd never gone through before. I remember my husband and I were in the car driving to an appointment and I'd said something to him and he was like, he like looked at me and I was like, what? And he was like, I haven't heard you talk like with your voice like this in I don't know how long. I'd missed this. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You're alone. And I'm just like holed up in the bedroom. Praying to die.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it was just so dark.
Yeah, it is dark.
And at the time, everything was looking healthy with my pregnancy. So I was like, there's no reason to be this depressed. But it was just the hormones and the HG and just like the pain that comes with the HG of like, I haven't eaten in days. I'm so hungry. It hurts.
Oh. Can I ask you, and you don't have to share if you don't want to, did you have like pre-existing OCD or anything like that? Because I know sometimes it exacerbates it. No?
Okay. At least not anything that I would have noticed. Nothing that was that ritualistic.
Yeah.
Like maybe just little things of like, I'm going to go double check that I turn off my curling iron or.
Right. Yeah.
Things like that. But nothing where it was like a checklist of things I had to do or couldn't do or had to wear or couldn't wear.
Yes.
That would cause something that's not even related to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was, 20 weeks? I had like mentioned that I was pregnant to somebody because at this point I didn't even like saying I was pregnant. So I didn't announce it on social media because I was like, if I announce it on social media, my babies are going to die.
Oh, wow.
So 20 weeks. I announced it on my TikTok and I was getting so much support. And then I started bleeding and I was like, I killed my babies.
Oh,
like this honey. Is it.
And the anxiety is real.
I like immediately go to L&D and they're like, no, everything's fine. They're okay. Just hang out and relax for a little bit. You're going to see your doctor next week anyway. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was my punishment for announcing my pregnancy.
Oh.
And so 6 weeks go by and I was like, okay, I am going to make my first purchase for this pregnancy.
Okay.
Which I know a lot of people feel this way of like, I don't want to buy it because what's the point?
You don't want to jinx it or you're so used to bad things happening. You know, something. Yeah.
And so at this point I'd started therapy and she was like, when you're ready, just make a small purchase. Like it doesn't need to be anything big. So I went and I bought swaddles for my babies and I go to my OB appointment and he goes, it looks like baby A has IUGR. He hasn't grown. And I was like, it's because I bought those freaking swaddles.
Oh, God.
So then, yeah, he was IUGR. He just like didn't want to keep growing anymore. So after that, it was just high risk, making sure that he was getting enough nutrients. Mm-hmm. IUGR can often happen if you have HG because HG affects how your placenta develops, mm-hmm. which can affect your baby's growth. And then 36 weeks, I was laying in bed and I was like, I just peed everywhere and mm-hmm. wasn't pee. My okay. water broken. And yes. so they came a little bit earlier because of my blood clotting disorder though.
Mm-hmm.
I had done my Lovenox at 10:30. My water broke at 12:30. So 2 hours later. And my doctor was like, oh, you're going to have to be put under for this delivery because of your Lovenox. And I was like, I will do anything to be awake for the birth of my babies.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Anything. And so my doctor came in and was like, if you're okay to wait till shift change, I think we can work with the next doctor. But you can't have any water, no food, okay. no epidural. You just have to labor with nothing. And I was like, I will labor.
You're like, that's I'm in fine. I can do this. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a little bit more about the blood clotting disorder?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
what is it specifically and how did you get diagnosed with that?
It's called factor five. And I was diagnosed with it back, I don't know, 2016, uh-huh. because I had pulmonary embolisms in my lungs. So I'd gone on a flight to Japan and got back and just all these things were happening. Went to the hospital and I had pulmonary embolisms in both lungs. So
wow.
because of the Lovenox and my delivery, I had some complications after I had my twins. So yeah, I waited it out. I was able to be awake for their delivery. And I remember the nurses coming in and checking my incision and they'd like make a face, but I was like, oh yeah, I just had a C-section. Ew. Of course it's going to look weird. And then it was a week after we'd gotten home from the hospital. Babies were healthy. Everything was great. And I remember being like, I feel like this pain seems more intense than other people. Like people say it hurts, but I feel like this like really hurts.
Like the recovery from the C-section. Yeah.
And I like lift up my nightgown and I see blood on the outside of my diaper. And I was like, that's not supposed to be there.
Yeah.
And I can't do blood. So yeah. I had my husband come look and he was like, that doesn't look the way it's supposed to look. And
oh, so no.
we go to the hospital and you could see under my skin. It kind of looked like there was a rope under my skin.
Wow.
Going from hip to hip. And so they were like, that is a giant blood clot from
wow.
hip to hip.
Okay.
So I went over to wound care and they're just squeezing it out like jelly. He said, this looks like grape jelly and that's a good thing. And I said, that's disgusting.
Oh my God. That's
and
wild.
So they're just like pulling these chunks of blood clot out through the hole in my incision.
Were you in pain?
Oh my gosh, so much pain.
Yeah. Okay.
They didn't give me anything. So it hurts so bad. And then I went into wound care once a week and had a home health nurse come over twice a week to squeeze out any more chunks and then pack the wound with gauze. And it was like 6 weeks later, it still wasn't closing. So I got a wound vac. We called her Vicky. She was so annoying and loud and kept me up and trying to carry two babies and wear a wound vac. It's just
Oh my gosh. I love that you named your wound vac. That's brilliant.
Oh, but it finally did close. And then my kids have been awesome. They're Thomas and Jane. They're just like the coolest kids ever. I feel like I was given like that horrible pregnancy. And then it was like the moment they were born, I remember them like leaving my body and I took this breath and I was like, I'm me. Like I could feel all of it leaving my, like all of the anxiety and like despair leaving my body the moment they were born.
Wow, that's really cool.
It was such...
I'm into that.
Like, it was so... I mean, maybe it's all mental, but it was just like the moment they came out, I was like, all mm-hmm. of that darkness was gone in mm-hmm. that moment. And it was... I was like, I'm me again. I feel so light and so happy. And postpartum, like, I had a bad recovery physically, but mentally, I was like, I'm me again. But I was like, if I ever want to have another baby... I'm going to have to do it quickly or I'm never going to do it again because I was terrified of being pregnant again. Mm-hmm. And so we go in for our second transfer and
wait, how long after?
My twins were 18 months, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I was like, cause I was like, it's not going to work anyway.
Right.
And.
But why did you think that? Oh, cause you didn't think the first one was going to work.
Yeah. Got and it. I was like, there's no way two are going to work in a row. And so that first transfer that, everybody leaves the room and I was like, Austin, this is such a special moment. Like, this is potentially our babies with us. Like, it was so sweet and tender. Mm-hmm. They left the room this time and I break out crying. I was like, Austin, what if this worked and I'm pregnant and it's going to be horrible and I'm going to get depressed again? And what if it's going to be this terrible experience? And he's like, it was only because it was twins. It's going to be better this time. And the MA comes in and I think she thought it was a tender moment and it wasn't me freaking out. And uh-huh. she's like, oh, hey guys. And she's so cute and sweet. And I'm like,
she's like, want me
so
to take
scared.
A picture?
Yeah. No, so she takes cute. A picture. Yeah. And I'm like, just yeah. so upset.
Right.
And we go home and same thing. I test the same day. It's negative, of course. Mm-hmm. And turns out I'm pregnant. And I was like, hey, this is going better. I made it to 5 weeks. 5 weeks is when I started getting sick with my twins. So I was like, I haven't thrown up once. 6 weeks rolled us around. And I'm like, I've only thrown up like twice. This is great. And then it was like 6 weeks, 3 days. It hit me like a bus. And then I was like, today's going to be a bad day. I wake up and I go to the bathroom and more blood than when I had my initial miscarriage. I'm like, what is this? And then I had these thoughts that I was like, but at least if I'm miscarrying, I don't have to be pregnant anymore.
Oh, and interesting.
I was like, this is the darkest thing that I've ever thought is like, not the darkest thing, but it was pretty dark where I was like, oh my gosh, what if I'm miscarrying? And I don't have to do this anymore. And I still feel so bad about it. Cause I'm like, we went to the appointment and it was an SCH. They found a heartbeat and he's here now. But I was like, I can't believe that I was praying for a miscarriage.
But you weren't necessarily, right? I mean, and it's okay to like sometimes have those, you know, both things can be true kind mm-hmm. of thoughts. Like, and just because you think something doesn't mean you really want it either.
Yeah, and
like,
I think that's what I try to remind myself is like, if it was a miscarriage, I would have been devastated of course. I would have gone in for another transfer. Like I would have tried again.
Yeah.
Even though it was not happy. Like depressed during this HG. And so, I had another round of HG. I was in the hospital 3 times a week, every week for 16 weeks.
Wow. Like trying for like an overnight stay or you?
No, just like for infusions? My fluids. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they wanted to admit me, but I was like, I can't be admitted. I've got twin toddlers at home. Mm-hmm. I cannot be here. My husband talked to his work and they let him become a full-time work from home employee at this time.
Okay.
And then we found care for my twins because I couldn't get out of bed. Uh-huh. So I was just so sad because I missed that whole summer with them. I still think about it. There are like pictures of me laying on the ground just so I could watch them play.
Oh, or like, but you have to take care of yourself because you want to be there for them.
I physically couldn't like get up, and I was home alone with them one day and passed out while they were in their cribs. And that's when we were like, okay, I can't be home alone at all, because if I hadn't come to, how long would they have been alone in their cribs for? This one was different because I didn't want to like bond with him. Mm. We didn't know he was a boy until like a couple days, maybe a week before he was born. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't want to talk about this baby. I didn't use the words I'm pregnant because it felt wrong. I didn't talk to my belly, sing to him. I didn't want to buy anything for him. Mm-hmm. I did not want to have any sort of emotional attachment to him. And so I just kind of ignored it.
Mm-hmm.
People would be like, oh, your bum's so cute. And I just like changed the subject because I didn't want to talk about, I didn't want to acknowledge that he existed at all, or else he was going to die. So it's different, where I was like, I could wear what I wanted to wear. I still had to bring certain tokens with me to certain things, but it was more like, if I acknowledge that this baby exists, he's going to die. So it was weird. I didn't want to talk about
that's really hard. That is
and
really
I was
hard.
Back in therapy, and she was like, just like make a goal of just like rubbing your belly and like saying, hi, baby. Or like if he kicks you, like talk to the kick, like anything to, because I was like, I want to form an attachment, but I also don't care to form, like, it was so weird.
I think that's partly protecting your heart too, right? Like you're
I think
just
so. And then at 34 weeks, I developed preeclampsia.
Oh, wow.
And my doctor was like, we could get him out now. And I was like, can we just, like, I don't want to do a NICU stay if we can do what we can. He was like, if you can come in every single day, we will keep him in as long as we can, but we will not go past 37 weeks. And I was like, deal. My twins had turned 2 on December 20th. December 21st is when he tried to have these babies born, or tried to have Lucas born. And I was like, I cannot have that. And then Christmas? Like, that's too much. And so I went in every day for 2 weeks. We made it to 36 weeks. So he was born first week of January.
Okay. You're like, we're going to space these kids out.
So I was like, you know what? Even if it's, I was like, if we could get to 36 weeks, our chance of a NICU stay are so much lower. So we made it to 36 and he was born.
Yes.
My mental health with him postpartum, I have had a lot more anxiety. Like, I didn't want to leave the house with him. I was constantly afraid of him getting sick or getting in a car accident. And so I was really, really anxious about that. Started medication and I'm great. What made me want to share more on social media, it was while we were doing IVF, I had started sharing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I got so much love and support of people being like, hey, this isn't talked about enough. And this was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people talk about pregnancy loss and infertility and dealing with it in your 20s, because that's when you're supposed to be super fertile. And I just got a lot of love. When you post online, people are going to be mean too. So there were plenty of people that were doing the just adopt, because, you know, adoption, it cures infertility. I got some pretty mean people, but majority overwhelming support and made me feel so much less alone when none of my friends, I mean, like I said, I had one friend who'd done IVF. None of my friends had done Clomid. Mm-hmm. So I felt like I had finally found a community of people who I could talk to and be candid with. When I started talking more about my HG, that was really hard because I also knew that a lot of my followers were people who were struggling to get pregnant. But a lot of them were actually I would say almost all, I could probably say less than 5 people weren't supportive when I talk about it.
Yeah.
They could empathize with the fact that, yes, I wanted to be pregnant, but also I wanted to have a will to live at the same time.
Totally. Oh my gosh.
And
yes.
So people were really, really kind and thoughtful. I feel like a lot of people could have compared it to postpartum depression or postpartum anxiety, where you love your baby, but something is just wrong with your brain. And mine was just during pregnancy versus postpartum. So a lot of people were really kind and supportive. And then when I made the decision to have my tubes tied during my second C-section, everyone was like, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You're not you when you're pregnant. And I feel like it's so silly to get tubes tied when you did IVF. But you just hear of people getting pregnant and having those miracle babies.
Yeah.
And I have nightmares about being pregnant.
No, I think you're again, taking your health into your own hands, advocating for yourself, making the right decision for you.
I think that's amazing. I always say, so I'm like, it's just, you're advocating for your health.
Yeah.
And we still have embryos that I am still too emotionally attached to. So I get that email every month that my card has been charged.
Yes.
I can't say goodbye to them. So
yeah, just that's hanging okay. out on that's ice. Normal.
We drive past the clinic and I wave to my little M babies. But
oh my gosh.
They're just hanging out half an hour away. And there's a trial for HG going now. And I'm like, I don't know. My husband and I have talked about it. He's like, we need you alive. And I want to be the best mom I can be for my kids. And so for now, they're just going to sit on ice and I'm going to keep my desire to live and enjoy. I was given horrible pregnancies, but amazing babies. And I feel like I was given the horrible pregnancies so that I know when to stop.
Thank you guys so much for listening to that story. Thank you to Ruby for sharing everything and for just making it suck less for people coming after her and me and so many of you. So I hope you guys enjoy that. If you did, please pass on this episode to anybody who you think could benefit from it. Getting the word out and just making people feel less alone is my whole MO. So I always appreciate you guys listening. Thank you for checking out the Work of Art book series. You can find them at infertileafgroup.com. And you can always, always, always reach out to me at infertileafstories. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you guys next time.